Chapter 13. Marcia wishes that nurse's phone she swiped back at the hospital had the Lyft app, but no, she had to have Uber, which almost rhymes with loser, while Lyft definitely rhymes with grift, but who cares? Either way, Marcia won't be paying out of her own pocket. Oh, the days when she had her own chauffeur, before his dick took over and turned him into more of a prick than he already was. But who's in the figurative driver's seat now? Certainly not Daryl or his blue balls. They're riding inside a crowded, sweaty, BO-drenched, unsafe van with a bunch of deranged fitness fanatics who couldn't even kill her when there were 9 of them, plus a fucked-up dog and a blabbermouth dick, and only one of her. Even the scab from the bite on her hand is still intact. Yep. Marcia's the one in control here, about to be dropped off by a glorified hack at LaGuardia Airport. But what the hell? Rideshare drivers keep their mouths shut because they usually have a shady past. If they had a real job, they wouldn't be doing this, right? The male ones, like the guy she has today, probably spend too much time watching sports highlights on TV and beating off. He obviously has no navigation skills either. What New York driver needs to use a GPS to get to the airport? He doesn't know where LaGuardia is? Don't they have to take tests or something? Uninterrupted moments of truth bore Marcia, so why not have a little fun? "Excuse me," she says with exaggerated politeness. "What do you think of the news?" "What news?" he asks with mild alarm. "Dolly Parton revealed today that she's a man," she explains with a straight face. "What?" he howls. "I know," she says with a nod. "Drag queens are everywhere these days, aren't they?" "She has a dick," he howls in disbelief. "Apparently," she announces. "What kind of dick?" he demands in utter confusion. "An uncircumcised one," she continues, "if you believe the leak reports from this Sunday's upcoming 60 Minutes. "You're kidding me," he shouts over the traffic noises as he pulls up to drop her off at the departure door to JetBlue Airways. What fun is it to lie when they believe you right away? Convincing them is the thrilling part. Marcia rates the Uber Goober 0 stars on the app, clicks off no tip, and hits the send button. "Officer," she says to the power-hungry airport traffic cop on the curb, who is needlessly harassing non-commercial vehicle drivers, pulling over to drop off family members for flights, "that car over there has been circling repeatedly." "Thank you, ma'am," he says with a macho load of law and order pounding through his veins. Marcia has no particular beef with the random innocent driver of the vehicle she has just fingered, but that was the point. The poor schmo was lucky to be part of Marcia's random acts of meanness. He's in this book, isn't he? She spots a small carry-on suitcase behind a female passenger who has obviously just arrived but is in the wrong place for Uber or Lyft. She's practically auditioning to be a victim, so Marcia obliges and deftly grabs the handle of the Rube's roller bag and heads inside the terminal. But instead of going directly to the check-in counter where she's eventually headed, she goes downstairs to the baggage level. The girl can't help it. Marcia's got plenty of stolen cash and a new disguise, so now's not the time to steal a bag. But she can't let the smug little airlines get complacent, can she? She moves quickly, as always. First, she puts the freshly swiped bag back on a carousel of moving luggage arriving from Chicago, flight 5371, she notes. Why? Because she can, that's why. She can't wait to see the red-faced security spokesman try to explain her move here once they get a load of the surveillance tape. She then grabs an empty cart from an unsuspecting skycap who is scanning the conveyor belt and, without breaking stride, wheels it to the far side of the carousel and picks up 2 new bags that haven't been retrieved, swivels them around to the next door baggage claim, and places them on that. Whee! Baggage anarchy! Catch me if you can! But she's not through yet. She's got over an hour before the flight, and she needs a new fake ID to check in. She barges right into the first airline baggage office she sees. American. There are women working, but one is black, and the white one weighs at least 30 pounds more than Marcia. Alaska Airlines, Jesus, a woman her age but Puerto Rican, and a goddamn man. Not one of them looks one thing like her, but there's a lot of airlines serving LaGuardia, and she's not giving up yet. United. Yes, a white woman with brown eyes like hers, roughly her age and weight. Not as pretty, of course, but same color hair as Marsha's current shade, yet worn in a different style. Oh well, what woman her age doesn't change her hairstyle? Women in Baltimore, that's who, but we're not there, are we? No, we're here in New York, and this lady will do just fine. The stage is set perfectly. Unclaimed bags litter the floor, as always, and the sort of look-alike handler is checking tags and praying no more irate customers come in. This has never happened, Marcia says with phony concern, but I think my bags have been lost. What flight were you on? The clerk asks, her heart sinking, hating this job ever since she was transferred to this department. Chicago, flight 5371, Marcia answers, all business, without being rude, as she imagines most customers are. Can I see your luggage claim, please? The woman asks routinely. That's just it, Marcia says, breaking into sobs. I lost mine. I'm such an idiot. It was stuck to the boarding pass, but the paper you use now is so flimsy that it gets all bunched up in my pocket and must have fallen out. Well, that's a new one, the attendant thinks, suddenly a little suspicious. This couldn't be that lady suitcase thief security has been warning us about, could it? As she turns to sneakily look at the wanted flyer on her desk, partially covered with other paperwork, Marcia sees the purse, the one this fool stupidly left hanging right on the back of the door on a hook. Nope, not her, thinks the lost baggage lady, looking at the surveillance photos. Not as mean looking. Almost looks like me, except I'm better looking, of course. Besides, this woman lost her luggage. She didn't steal somebody else's. Lightning. That's how quickly Marcia strikes. Fingers in, fingers out, wallet gone. Oh, God, Marcia wails as if a comic strip light bulb went off in her brain. My husband has my boarding pass. I forgot. Let me go get it. He's waiting outside with my children and our carry-on luggage. Before the United Airlines worker can respond, Marcia is gone. Good riddance, moron, the clerk thinks. You deserve to lose your luggage. How oblivious can one employee be? There Marcia was, public enemy number one baggage thief, and she's not recognized? It will be hours before she realizes her wallet is gone, too. Okay, let's take a look inside. What? No credit cards? All maxed out and canceled? She's more of a loser than Marcia imagined. Here's the ID, at least. She ducks behind a crowd of passengers struggling to exit with their luggage and sits on a bench next to a bachelorette party in full regalia. Nobody will look at her here. Now she'd better memorize all the information on the license. Her mind is like a camera. Visualize. Click. Your life depends on these details. Remember them. Address. Date of birth. Especially the zip code. A steel trap. That's what Marcia's mind is, and you know what? She could pass as this dim-witted airline worker if the TSA security officer is distracted long enough, and Marcia knows how to do that. She's a better actress than Meryl Streep. It's time to win the Liar Oscar. What's this ahead? A whole gang of greeters are waiting for arriving passengers with signs, thank you for your service, welcome home, soldier, proud to be an American, or just a few. Marcia hates patriotism. She has nothing against armed service members, really. At least they got out of Dodge. But why do their relatives have to be so gung-ho American in public? She'll give them something to be zealous about. I'm sorry for your loss, she whispers to a younger man who could be a flag-waving relative. I didn't lose anything, he cries out in sudden concern. There's been an accident, she says under her breath to another woman, possibly a tag chaser, right before she scurries away. What do you mean, the panicked military spouse asks as she chases after Marcia. Look at the arrival board, Marcia stops and says with concern. See chaplain. That's all it says. You know what that means, don't you? The lady cries out in horror, and Marcia pulls up her trench coat's collar and heads to the ticketing counter. She takes the elevator out because she knows travelers who use them are in worse physical shape, more cowardly, less sure of their own destiny, and plan poorly on luggage restrictions. In other words, they can't chase you. There are two sets of passengers inside. A single man dressed in full Yankee swag, even though it's football season, with a cart loaded with a large suitcase to check and a carry-on bag probably too big for the overhead bins. The other two, who look like they've never left home, have poor posture. Has no one told them that standing up straight is the key to success? They must be married because they're arguing over the price of long-term parking lots. Both are pulling carry-on bags that will definitely be taken away from them if they are seated in Zone 4 or 5, which Marcia is sure they are. "Have you heard the new airline policies?" Marcia asks, suddenly the do-gooder. "No, what?" asks Mr. Sports Fanatic, suddenly paranoid. "You're only allowed one small bag that will fit under your seat. No overhead bins available due to new safety regulations," Marcia offers. "That couldn't be true," huffs the married lady, envisioning the hell she and her husband have before them if this policy is indeed in place. "I know it's insane," Marcia sympathizes, "but it's every airline. And wait, it gets worse. Now you aren't allowed to wear your shoes anywhere on board." "The floors are filthy on a plane," the wife sputters, suddenly feeling too hot and breaking into a sweat under her arms. "I'm not going in that germ-filled lavatory in my socks," howls her husband. "No man can aim with turbulence," agrees the Yankees groupie in a loud voice that forces the married lady to turn red with embarrassment over any public mention of a penis. The elevator door opens, and Marcia gets off first and whispers to a couple politely waiting to get on. "They're closing JFK Airport because of a deadly new virus." The lady gasps, and Marcia chuckles to herself. Some people will believe even the most ridiculous lies. She rushes off, the sound of fear spreading behind her. Okay, here goes. She's about to buy an airline ticket with cash, backed up with a look-alike-ish ID that's not her own. It's the final exam in fraud graduate school. Will she pass or be expelled? That is the question. Last-minute airfare prices are such a ripoff. They know you have to go. Someone died, someone was born, and they've got you by the balls even if you have a vagina. You end up paying way more when the ticket should have been the cheapest. The seat is unsold and would have remained so if you hadn't shown up to buy it. That mother of yours is the one who should be paying, the one whose disgusting birth canal you fought your way out of the day you didn't ask to be born. Same with that womb ravager Poppy. Marcia didn't steal her daughter's moolah. She took what was rightfully owed in cash money for ripping open her own personal oven and popping out uninvited. And filthy men, they are the ones who should shower her with gold for what they've done. Whoremongers, sex addicts, molesters, worse yet, fathers, and next up, the most terrible man of them all, her ex-husband.